So sometime after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary take the 5-mile walk up to Jerusalem. And there are two purposes for this trip. First, to offer a small sacrifice in the temple to make Mary ritually clean after childbirth. And secondly, to dedicate this firstborn child to God. So to the house of God, the Holy Family comes not to be welcomed by angels, but by elders of the tribe. Inconspicuously, they enter the temple, that massive structure of stone and wood. But an old man named Simeon spots them, and what is hidden is revealed in a moment of inspiration. Like a watchman who has waited so long for news from the front, now, finally, Simeon receives word that he has longed to speak. He holds in his arms the consolation of Israel, the Lord's anointed, the leader of the people. Simeon's fondest wish all his life has now been granted. And so with Jesus in his arms, Simeon now offers praise and thanksgiving to God, the faithful God who fulfills promises made to Israel. Simeon speaks the famous Nunc Dimittis in the old King James Version, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Enough of waiting and longing and hoping. Watchman, tell us of the night, the old hymn says, and this watchman tells us that his tour of duty is complete. His endless wait is now over. So Simeon's parting words, holding Jesus in his arms, are words of peace. Peace and hope for a troubled world. Words of salvation for Israel and words of salvation for the whole world. Good news of a great joy, the Prince of Peace has finally visited us. Then Simeon directs his attention to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now his words take a rather foreboding turn. This child will be the occasion for the fall and rise of many. He will prompt controversy and decision. And this child, Mary's child, will be spoken against and opposed by many. Mary, did you know your baby boy will be the great divider, causing division within his own family, within the synagogue in Nazareth and many other synagogues, and finally arousing hatred in Jerusalem? And this baby boy will cause great pain and sorrow for Mary herself. Mary, did you know your baby boy will suffer and die before your very eyes? Mary, did you know that a sword would pierce your soul also? Now the air heavy with this dark prophecy, another prophet comes forward. Anna is her name, a widow for so many years who never left the temple, but worshiped and fasted and prayed night and day. Anna and Simeon had no doubt occupied that holy space together for years. And now she steps forward, almost to alleviate Mary's anxiety caused by Simeon, with praise to God for this holy child. She saw in that baby the redemption of Jerusalem, the salvation for all her people, the reason for her prayers and her praise. Well, after this memorable encounter, the Holy Family quietly departs the temple, the words of Simeon and Anna still ringing in their ears. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, yet again, as they journey north to Nazareth. That's the story. This morning, I want to address the elders of this tribe, the Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church. Many of us identify with Simeon and Anna, rather long in the tooth, but with very deep spiritual longings. And let me suggest three things for you, the elders of our tribe, might want to ponder in your hearts. First, let's acknowledge that our sojourn is coming to an end, some sooner and some later. Anna had been a widow for a long time, and Simeon says that seeing Jesus meant now he could depart in peace. Simeon and Anna have lived long, and they are now prepared for their exit, but not before seeing the Lord's anointed. One thing about getting older, I soon turned 77, is that you realize more clearly your own limitations. One clue that I am aging is that nowadays I'm receiving numerous cards inviting me to join the Neptune Society. Gotten any of those lately? The Neptune Society. One of my closest seminary friends was Paul Bitter. He arrived on the campus of Austin Seminary battling several conditions he contracted while trying to swim the lakes of the Panama Canal. He almost made it before he got ill, and so he limped onto campus with several exotic ailments. But when Paul turned 60, he sent all of his friends a card that read, "I am 60. I have given up trying to swim the Panama Canal." Now, there are any number of canals I have given up trying to swim. How about you? With age, hopefully, comes a bit of wisdom. Knowing our limitations and accepting them patiently. Our task at this stage of the journey is to age gracefully and gratefully. Remember, Simeon and Anna spent their latter days praising God in the temple, and so can we. Second, let us acknowledge that even at their advanced age, Simeon and Anna are still prophets. Think about that. They are still called. Like us in the Presbyterian Church, once an elder, always an elder. You can check out, but you cannot leave. They're still speaking good news to Israel, still proclaiming the coming of the Lord's anointed. Think about it. Three generations come together that day in the temple. But it is the elders who interpret what it all meant. Simeon and Anna testify to this wondrous gift. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. And now two elders of the tribe see that today this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. Friends in Christ, discipleship does not take retirement, but praise with the psalmist that even in old age, we will produce good fruit. Look it up, Psalm 92. Whatever your age, you can show by word, and perhaps more importantly, by deed, that God is love, and those who love abide in God. You can show by your compassion for others and your quest for justice and peace in the world, that indeed your faith sustains you and makes a difference in your life even to this day. Are you ever too old to be Christ-like and to shine the light of Christ upon others? Never forget, Simeon and Anna were prophets to the end of their days. Can we be? Third, and maybe most important, let us acknowledge that Simeon and Anna point the way to the future. They are signposts of hope, heralding a new day dawning for Israel, the coming of the Lord's anointed. They saw in this child's face the face of God. The reason we trust God and entrust our lives to Him. The elders of the tribe point the way to a life of faith and hope and love that holds firmly to the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, and the love of God. The younger generation needs to hear these words from our lips and also demonstrated in our lives. Lord, You have been our refuge in all generations. So we must encourage them to never lose heart and to never lose hope. Of one thing I am certain, the coming generation must be our primary passion. Their future, their environment, their faith, their church, and their families. The old song says it so well, I can't stop thinking about tomorrow. That means we do not surrender to nostalgia or regrets or bemoaning the present. And our tagline should never be, ain't it awful? Because if that's so, we have a great future behind us. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we have a great future behind us if it's all about regrets. We literally do not have time for that kind of self-indulgence. Our tagline should be, trust the Lord and entrust your ways to Him. So, dear elders of this tribe, my contemporaries, we need to hold fast to our faith in the living God that has sustained us even to this day. Our God who will be faithful to our children and their children from generation to generation. Think of us like this. We should be living pointers to that coming kingdom where all will be well and all manner of things will be well. We do not look back in sorrow. We look ahead with great expectations. For God goes before us, not behind us. A cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, leading our children and their children into God's future. For me, one role model would be this marvelous couple, Simeon and Anna. They're in the temple, day after day. They are prophets of the future that God has for us. And may we speak a word of hope to a coming generation through all the days yet given to us. That is our calling, and that is our task. Thanks be to God. Amen.